recorded in the Bible, I suppose for a multiplicity of reasons, basically because it's the truth. But Peter was used to teach us all something. And it's a lesson that takes us a long time to learn. I may talk a little bit more about this tonight, because it's a lesson that, quite frankly, you have to live it to understand it. And before I came to this church, I did not understand it. I just didn't understand it. But I've lived it here for 31 years. And I'm not the Lone Ranger. It's a lesson we all need to learn, and I'm still learning it. And it all goes back to Galatians 3:24. For the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We were born, whether you like it or not, and believe it or not, you, myself, and all men and women were born completely, absolutely, spiritually ignorant. You might even say spiritually dumb. We were so spiritually dumb, we didn't even suspect anything. We were a blank. And so, when God's Holy Spirit began to work with us, He was working with a blank tape. And we had a lot to learn. He saved us by less faith than it takes to measure up to the size of a grain of mustard seed, according to the Scriptures. And He had to shine in our hearts and enlighten us and allow us to receive Christ. Oh, we made a choice, make no mistake. But He saved a bunch of spiritually dumb people just like me and just like you. So after He saved us, we knew Christ, and Christ was in us. We were saved, gloriously saved, gloriously saved, completely saved, eternally saved, God's children forever, because He'd led us to Christ. But we didn't know zip. So why did He tell Peter and the rest of the disciples, after they had followed Him for more than 3 years, that they needed to be converted? Why in the world would He tell three men that had just left everything behind, tell these men, 11 of them, why did He tell them after 3.5 years of following Him all over the place that they needed to be converted? He told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He was talking about spiritual growth. He was talking about learning something. It isn't something you learn in a day or a month or a year. It's something you learn in a lifetime. And you die still learning, but certainly knowing more than when you started. That's what your life is once you're saved. Mine, yours, every saved person. It's a life of being converted from what you are and your way of thinking, which you inherited from your physical birth, into a spiritual way of thinking, which is the admonition that Christ gave, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the real question I'm asking you this morning is, have you been converted? Are you being converted? And if not, do you intend to let the Lord convert you? Are you going to learn to think like God wants you to? Or are you going to continue to think just like you think right now, always have, and you're just waiting for Him to come and you're going to heaven? You will, but you've never been converted. What does it mean to be converted? Lord have mercy. I'm still being converted, so I can't give you the final conclusion. But when I first got saved, oh man, I loved Jesus. Oh, I was going to get out there and get on fire for Jesus. I was going to do this, and I was going to do that, and I was going to do this, and I was going to do that. And I just went out in full-blown array. It's the only thing I could do, because I didn't know any better. And you have to learn something in life. And a lot of preachers never learn it. A lot of church members never learn it. And a lot of young men in our churches never learn it. Here's what you have to learn. Let's go back to the law. For the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Is that all you can learn from the law? Well, let's talk about the law. A lawyer came to Jesus one day and said, what do I have to do to be saved? Jesus said, what saith the law? The lawyer said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy body, all thy soul. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy body, and all of thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus told him, this do, and thou shalt live. What is conversion? After you're saved, you're supposed to learn something. Jesus said, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. You're supposed to learn you can't do that. Not even after you're saved. You can't do that. Well, what is the ultimate love? Jesus told Peter and the rest of the disciples, he said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be raised from the dead. And Peter said, this shall not be so. He said, Lord, I will follow thee to death and to prison and to death. That's the ultimate love, isn't it? That's agape love, isn't it? How often we say things like, oh, how I love Jesus. But we don't really love Jesus like he loves us. And even after we're saved and we have him living inside us, it's the greatest struggle we ever face. Very few people ever come to love like Christ. It's just an impossibility. That's what being converted means. And that was Peter's problem. Now let's take a look at John 21:15. And the Bible says, concerning what Peter said about following him to jail, to prison, and to death, the Bible says, so said they all. They all claimed they had this love for him. They said, we love you so much, Master, we'll follow you to death. That's agape love. That's agape love. Peter denied him 3 times. So after Peter made that bold statement, and all the disciples said likewise, did they follow him to death? Were they willing to give up their own lives? Were they willing to give up their home, their parents, their wives, their professions? Were they willing to withdraw from fishing anymore? Were they willing to just give up their life and die for Christ? No. Neither am I. And neither are you. Because you don't have agape love except in the person of Christ. And I had to learn that lesson. I learned it from Peter. I've learned it. I'm not a master at it. But I've learned it. Peter denied him 3 times. So, Lord, ask him a question 3 times. It's tied directly back to that. Do you feel guilty because you don't love Jesus enough? I hope so. I hope you feel guilty down to the tips of your toes. I hope you feel so guilty inside, it just makes you cringe because you don't love him enough. It does me. What about you? That's something that is involved in conversion. Don't worry, there's a lot of relief in this from all the guilt we bear. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me more than these? He'd just finished eating some fish. He'd just gone back to his own profession. He had all these men around him that were fishermen just like him, disciples, and they'd all gone back to the world. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these men, than these what you're eating here? Do you love me more than your old profession? He said, now come on, Peter, do you love me that much? And he used the word agape. He said, "Do you love me, Peter, like I love you?" Jesus had died for him. That's agape love. Peter had said, "I'll follow you to prison to death." But he didn't. Because he didn't love Jesus like Jesus loved him. "Lord, I'm sorry, but I don't love you like you love me. And I won't love him like he loves me until I see him as he is and I receive my new glorified body." Now, what I'm saying to you this morning is very important. You may get mad, but I hope you listen to it. Because you need to be converted, every single one of you. And I need to be converted. So please sit here and listen, whether you want to or not. And you can get mad as a wet hen, but I want you to listen. Because this is something that you're all supposed to learn, I'm supposed to learn, and we're learning. He said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said, "Do you love me like I love you?" Agape. He had claimed to. He had actually made the claim that he loved him and would die. He saith unto him, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him. Now right here is where all of this comes home. The word that Peter used was phileo. "I love you like a brother, but I don't love you like you love me, Lord. Well, I love Jesus, but not like Jesus loves me." That's the lesson. And you need to learn it. Every single one of you need to learn it. And I need to learn it. Because it teaches you what grace is. And if it makes you mad what I'm saying, you are a long way from even starting to learn it. He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." You know what he told him? He said, "That's okay, Peter. I know you don't love me like I love you. I know that. But," he said, "you go ahead and feed my lambs. Feed my little sheep." That was a valuable lesson I learned. I quit trying to love like Jesus loved. And I do make an effort. But I feed you anyway. Even though I just phileo Jesus. I don't agape Jesus. I just phileo him. And it doesn't matter, Jesus said. He said, "You go ahead and feed my sheep anyway, Peter." We all claim to love the Lord, but we don't love Jesus like he loves us. But that shouldn't stop us from being faithful in church. That shouldn't stop us from being faithful in our giving, in our study of his word. It shouldn't stop us from following him. And then he denied him three times. He denied Jesus three times. Three times. That's the first time he asked him, "Peter, do you love me like I love you?" Peter said, "No, I don't, Lord." He said, "That's okay, Peter." He said, "You feed my lambs anyway." If I hadn't learned this, I'd have quit a long time ago. I'd have quit the pastor a long time ago. I don't love Jesus like he loves me. Man needs to be honest with himself. But I'm still supposed to serve him, even though I don't love him like he loves me. He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He asked him again, "Do you agapeo me, Peter? Do you love me like I love you?" He's trying to teach him a lesson. I think I've learned this lesson. He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." But Peter used the word phileo. He said, "No, Lord." He said, "Yeah, I love you, Lord. I love you like a brother. I don't love you enough to die for you, Lord." See, he was learning the lesson. He said, "I don't love you like you love me." But Jesus went right ahead and was making a point to him. He said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my mature sheep." He said, "Peter, you can't love me like I love you." But he said, "That doesn't matter, Peter. I love you. And even though you don't love me like I love you," he said, "you can still serve me. You can still do what I tell you to do, and you can prove your phileo love to me. Now, Peter denied him three times. So the Lord three times asked him this question. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Agape thou me. Three times he said, do you agape me? This is the kind of love that's in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, do you love me like I love you, Peter? And all three times, Peter was truthful. But right here, Jesus did not use agape. For the first time, he doesn't use agape. He'd already used it twice to get the point across. Two times before, he said, do you agape me, Peter? And twice before, Peter had said, you know I phileo you. He'd learned the lesson. He said, Peter, do you phileo me? The third time, Jesus switched words. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me? He said, all right, Peter, do you love me like you say? And Peter told him the truth. He told him the truth all three times. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Jesus said, do you phileo me? He came down to Peter's level. And he said unto the Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo thee. Okay, I can tell you this. I do phileo Jesus. But I don't love him like he loves me. And the reason I serve him is because that love that he expressed for me is a love that is beyond human dimension or capability. He died for me expecting nothing in return. He died for you expecting nothing in return. And he agape'd you. Peter said he had that kind of love. Told him he'd follow him to prison and death. Peter told him and claimed he had agape love. He claimed him he loved Jesus enough to die for him. But he didn't. He denied him three times. I don't love Jesus enough to die for him. Oh, sometimes my grandiose messages, I may get so carried away, you may even think I make that claim. I don't love Jesus enough to die for him. Neither do you. Neither do you. But that doesn't matter. He knows we can't perfectly keep the law. He said, all the law and the prophets hung on this commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. He knows you can't do that. But he knows you can phileo him. You can't love like he does. So finally he came down to Peter's level. He said, okay, Peter, if you phileo me, he said, feed my sheep. The second time he said, shepherd my sheep. That's what the word means. Okay, I don't love Jesus like I should. I don't love Jesus like he loves me. I love myself too much. I love the world too much. I love the things of the world too much. Just like Peter. I do phileo him. I do care for him. So what did he tell me to do? He said, I want you to feed my baby lamb. I want you to feed my mature lamb. And I want you to shepherd all of them. Okay, that's what I do. But not because I love him like he loves me, but because he loves me far more than I could ever possibly love him. And then Peter said something. Then the Lord said something to Peter that I'm thankful he said. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest about wherever, wheresoever thou wouldest. Lord, I will follow thee to prison and to death. Young people can't do that, and rightly so. Middle-aged people can't do that, and rightly so. But finally, at the end, after you've learned the lesson, after you've been converted, and after you realize you don't love Jesus like he does you, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand. And another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. Why do you think I've pastored here 31 years? Because of my love for the Lord? Forget that. I've been converted. I don't love Jesus like I should. Never have. Because I can't love him like he loves me. But he loves me. And so here I am. And as I grow older, all the exuberance of my youth, the bus that we had bringing all these people in, all the things I wanted to do and see all these people be saved and all these wonderful things happen. And I went out there with a zeal, willing to do whatever God wanted, no matter what the cost. But I was full of hot air. And you all are full of hot air, too. You think you really love God, but you don't love God. But you don't love God. You don't love his word. There are lots of other things you love a whole lot more than that. And you get your feelings hurt. And you get mad. You get irritated. You don't care for God's word. You just care for your own personal life. And you work God's word into it. Well, I'm 72 years old now. For 31 years, I've tried to feed you. I've tried to shepherd you. It's getting close to an end. I'm beginning to realize how Jesus loves, in spite of what you are, in spite of the way you are, in spite of the fact you don't love God's word. I still love you, and I'll die loving you. There's a lesson people need to learn. And if they learn it, when they finally do get old, they quit trusting in themselves. They quit looking at the results of their work. They quit looking at the people they preached to all those years. And their little regard for what they preached. And they just go ahead and stretch forth their hands to the Lord. Say, all right, Lord, there it is. I still love you. I'm still trying. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. John wrote this book in 95-96 A.D. By that time, Peter had long since died. The reason I believe he was crucified upside down on a cross in Rome is because by this time, John already knew how he died. He didn't want to die. But the Lord strengthened him, and the Lord led him where he didn't want to go. He had claimed, Lord, I'll follow you to prison and death. But he couldn't do it. But finally, when he got old, it was Jesus that girded him and strengthened him, and Jesus carried him to his death. If I were to ever die for Jesus, it would only be because he carried me there. It wouldn't be because I went and died because I loved him with all my mind, all my heart, all my body, and all my soul, and my neighbor as myself. I will never in this life love Jesus with any higher love than phileo. I cannot agape. I've learned that. But I've learned that I can do what I'm supposed to do, and you can do what you're supposed to do, regardless of your level of love. That's what you need to learn in this church. You need to learn to do the things you do because you phileo Jesus. You don't need to look upon yourself as a martyr. If any of you ever die for Jesus, it won't be because you agape Jesus. It'll be because you phileo him, and he gave you the strength to do it. And after he had spoken this unto him, he said, follow me. Okay, Peter never did say he did anything more than phileo him. I don't do anything more than phileo him. I used to think I agape him. That's how vain and arrogant I was years ago. Not anymore. But in spite of the fact that I don't love him like he loves me, and in spite of the fact that you don't love him like he loves you, you can still follow him. And to follow him means to learn from him. It means to be converted by him. It means to change from what you are and recognizing what you are now. You'll never be able to do more than phileo him. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, you can at least do that. And if you're one of those people saying, well, I think you can grow to agape him and follow him to death and prison. No, you're just like Peter. You haven't learned a blinking thing. Once you finally understand, begin to understand how much he loves you and how little you love him, then there's a race in your life to try to love him more. It's following the impossible goal. And only he can carry you on that trail. And when he had spoken thus, he said, follow me. Well, we never do get completely converted. But there's a trail and there's a path. Now, this isn't up to me. It isn't up to how well I preach it to you and how well I present it to you. It isn't up to me how well I exhort you. It's up to you individually and personally. And if you're going to follow him, you don't need to be concerned about what she's going to do, or he's going to do, or she's going to do, or he's going to do. And you don't need to be concerned about all these other people and how God uses them. Be concerned about following Jesus and letting him use you and keep your eyes off the works of other people. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple which Jesus loved, John, who wrote this, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? It was John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, and what shall this man do? He said, well, what are you going to do with Peter, or with John? What's he going to do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He said, Peter, that's none of your business. He said, you follow me, and let John follow me, and let me determine which way he goes. You don't need to know. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is that disciple, John, which testifies these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. What was he talking about? In Revelation, the last book in the Bible, written many years after this, he said, I, John, was on the Isle of Patmos. And he had a vision. And the vision was of the second coming of Jesus Christ. John got to see it. He got to see him return in a vision on a white horse. He got to see him destroy the armies of Antichrist and throw the false prophet and the Antichrist into a lake of fire. He got to see Jesus come just as sure as if he had been standing there when it happened in a vision. Well, I don't know if all of you will learn this, if a few will or none of you will. But the sooner you come to understand that you're held accountable to God by his Son for whether you follow him or not. And it doesn't matter if you don't love him enough to follow him to death and to prison. It just matters if you love him, if you phileo him. Then he says, go ahead and follow me. You don't have to love like I do. You'll never love Jesus like he loves you. Maybe in a glorified body when we shall see him and be like him, but not until then. So let's make up our minds, individually and as a church, that we're going to spend more time trying to follow Jesus. Because even though we can't love him like he loves us, we at least have that responsibility. And it's a quarter till. And that's the end of the book of John.